75, 85, 90, and a dollar. Thank you, and come again. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, can I just ask you a question? Did you believe that? I mean, the way I gave you the change, did I sound like a real Quickie Mart, you know, kind of guy?
Actually, I thought it was a little labored.
Huh.
You gotta lose yourself in the moment, man.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, let's just try that again, okay? Come on. Hey, come on. Hey, get over here. Okay, now you're you, I'm me.
I'm me?
Hey, don't jerk me around, fella.
Hello and welcome to Foot in the Nate, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Terry, I am very, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Can I just start things off by saying season's greetings?
Oh, season's greetings.
Yeah. It's Easter, man. Coming up to Easter.
Yeah, of course.
The most holiest of holidays.
And a happy Easter to you. Is this... What's Easter?
Friday. Good Friday is coming.
Is Easter when he died? I think rose
he was,
again?
Yeah, I think he was murdered on the Friday.
Ooh.
And then he came back on the Sunday. And Monday they had a party.
What a comeback story.
Yeah, no. He's the original Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, brilliant.
He actually is a great allegory for Jesus. His career was dead, and now he's the most powerful man in Hollywood.
Is he, though?
Yeah, he's Iron Man.
Is that still a big franchise?
It's going to be, like, the biggest movie coming out in the summer is fucking Avengers, man.
Yeah.
He's the main Avenger.
Oh, is he?
But he could be. They're saying this could be his last one.
Oh, snap.
You got to get your finger on the pulse.
I don't like comic book movies, but I'd like to like them. You know? I'd like to get involved in the hype.
They're fun, you know? Man. And they're just, you know, it's 20-something movies now, so it's like having a TV series if you wanted to, like, start at the start and work your way through.
Interesting.
Think of it that way.
Because I was really put off. I used to really like movies that, like, could possibly be real.
You used to really like movies, full stop. Now you can't make a true one.
I watched The Silence on Netflix.
Never heard of it.
Stanley Tucci, your boy.
The Tooch. The Tooch is loose.
And I tell you, he's better than that.
And it's the girl, I do know, it's the girl from, you never watched Mad Men, but she's the new Sabrina.
Who's the old Sabrina?
Well, the old Sabrina, Joan Hart.
I thought, like, in Mad Men.
No.
All right.
She's his daughter in Mad Men, but she's Sabrina now on the horror version. On
it's
Netflix.
A rubbish movie, anyway.
Okay.
Jerry.
You made it true?
Absolutely. Start to finish. Hour and a half.
I tell you what I watched, and you might like.
Yes?
The Post.
The Post?
Yeah. It's a grown-up adult drama about...
Duh.
No, but it stars Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm leaning in.
And it has pretty much like a murderer's row of support cast of like Bob Odenkirk. Well, Meryl Streep is ostensibly the lead.
Love Meryl Streep.
I'll tell you who's in it. He plays a big part. The guy from that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine goes to the bookies. It's like, yet to be shut. Yours, Elaine Bennis.
Really? Okay.
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah.
What's his name?
It's on Netflix.
No, I watched it on Amazon Prime. I'll give you my password.
Is that... Ooh, you heard it here first, folks. And what would that password be?
It would be...
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's good.
I was only thinking I should really get on to Amazon Prime. Is it
good? I got it. I think it's like $2.99 for your first 6 months or something like that. Like, so
mere peanuts.
Exactly, yeah. But it's got a load of good movies on it. Got
Brilliant.
Liam Neeson as The Commuter. It's got... Well, you didn't see that one?
So it's called The Commuter.
Yeah. He gets the train every day, and then there's like a bomb on the train or something.
The Commuter. Yeah. I thought you were making that up.
No. You can't make it up.
Oh, God. Terry.
Yeah.
Can I get us back on track here?
Sure. Pardon the pun.
Oh.
Train, track, commuter.
I missed it myself. raging. we have a lot to talk about, Terry.
Yeah.
Mainly the 13th episode of season 5 of The Simpsons, Homer and Apu.
Oh. We are on risky territory.
I'd say we dive right in, yeah. Terry.
Well, can I just say beforehand, before we... when I was watching this,
yeah,
I made a conscious effort to be like, I'm going to pretend it's not Hank Azaria doing the voice. It's an Indian guy.
You know what the funny thing was? When I was watching it, I was actually more aware than ever that it was Hank Azaria doing the voice. Maybe because of all this.
Yes, and that's why I wanted to be like, I'm just going to say, like, pretend it's an Indian person.
Well,
and see, does the episode hold up or whatever like that. Like, and that was kind of, because I didn't want my whole thought to be like, oh, it's a white guy doing an Indian voice. You know?
I didn't even, I mean...
No, we've been over this to the legacy of it, but like, it was just for myself to be like, I wondered, like, if it was an Indian person doing it, is it culturally insensitive?
Yeah.
Or, like, if it's just the Indian character, the way they've always depicted him,
yeah,
does it change anything? And
like, I mean, if
maybe
you
I'm
aired,
way off base here, but, you know.
No, but I mean, if you aired this episode now on TV, would it, there be an issue? You know what I mean?
Probably, but
in
that's
America,
just, yeah, because it's too, everything's too sensitive now.
Yeah.
Like, and again, we're coming from the spectrum. I'm just coming up from, it's like my favorite TV show, you know, an episode we grew up watching. I don't think they're going out of their way to be like offensive.
Well,
you know,
no, because the what I loved, and we'll get more into it, but what I loved most about this episode was like, it was more like, his race or his ethnicity didn't really come into it.
Yeah.
I loved the whole angle of just like, he's almost like, he almost views the Quickie Mart as like his calling.
Yeah,
it's not just
a
job.
Yeah.
So what happens when you take that away from
him?
Like, you know, that was good. And like, he's actually like, tries to swindle people all the time, and you know, it's the first get to see Apu.
It's not because he's Indian.
It's something to do with the Indianness. Yeah.
We got into it because we both worked in a Quickie Mart type shop,
sure,
a Centra, you know.
Sure,
so there's lots.
You might
of
say this podcast wouldn't exist if we didn't do it.
Well, yes, I would definitely say that. Yeah,
certainly not based on our school friendship.
Freak.
Let me hit you with some more facts and trivia. It was directed by Mark Kirkland, who I didn't realize co-directed and co-wrote Heartbreakers
with Jennifer Love
huge tits.
Bleep that last part. Sigourney Weaver looks great in that movie.
She does, she always looks great.
Whatever happened to Jason Lee? That's what
I
wonder
that too. He was everywhere and then he was nowhere.
What
did he do?
He was in The Incredibles. This is probably his biggest thing. Like, but he hasn't done it. My Name Is Earl, I guess, as well.
Yeah, that was
I thought he was good. He's like,
never seen an episode. I've probably seen an episode.
He's affable, sort of everyman kind of nice guy or whatever.
I always liked him. Like, he was really like early noughties.
Yes. And then he just like went
vanished.
Well, he's a Scientologist. So,
is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is. Well, you know, I don't hold it against him.
I say that's a damn shame.
You say the same thing about Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise is Scientology, though.
Yeah,
he doesn't answer to anybody. They answer to him. That's what I like about it.
You like that he's enslaving
goddamn
people.
Wants. Tom Cruise wants to enslave people. Let him.
Hot take.
It acquired a Nielsen rating of 13.3. And what else have I got for you as I scroll through and try and make it sound like
I've got
coming
one
up with
for
it on
you.
My own, please.
James Woods, who is great in this episode.
He is great.
The guest role was originally written for Michael Caine.
I've seen that,
yeah.
I refuse. So, fair enough.
Because, they said it was his propensity for appearing in anything. Would that's why they wanted to cast him, like,
because he doesn't like to appear.
No, he would appear like, he was in like Jaws 4 or whatever like that. Like,
Michael Caine or James Woods?
Michael Caine.
He's in Jaws 4.
Yeah,
was he?
Yeah, he used it like to. That's what it was like, because he would just appear.
He'd do anything.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
he was.
No, he refused them. So like,
jeez.
They rewrote it as like James Woods researching a movie role. Like.
I can tell you that the song Who Needs the Quickie Mart was nominated for an Emmy Award.
I could see that, yeah.
But lost to The Song Remembers When from the television special Trisha Yearwood. The Song Remembers When. Which, you know, whatever. What I thought was interesting was No, I've lost it. Terry, I'm all over the place.
I'll give you a bit more James Woods stuff, where basically he apparently would ad-lib a lot of his lines.
Yes.
And they said basically, like, most cast members or guest stars are nervous when they show up. He was fearless and he was just ad-libbing. And according to David Merkin, he's like one of his favorite guest stars ever. So funny, and it all came right off the top of his head.
Apparently he was a big fan of the show as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I love. Like, we talked about Sam Neill, like, saying it was the, like, highlight of his career. Yeah. I love when they're fans of the show. And you can tell.
You can tell.
You can definitely tell when somebody's not phoning it in.
And like, they're willing to be a bit more, like, not even self-deprecating, but kind of like that.
Well, he's very self-deprecating in this episode. Yeah. Like, yeah.
They can poke fun at themselves. Like,
yeah. Other than that, you know, there's a bunch of little bits we could probably get into during the episode.
Yeah, we'll probably get in.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I dropped the ball on my only task on this podcast, to hit us with facts and trivia. I can tell you that it was released in February 10th, 1994, and starring James Woods as himself.
Oh, God. One of the, I mean, we'll talk about it maybe when he appears in the episode, but it was like, it's a setting of things to come in terms of guest stars across like, you know, sitcoms or in our lifetime, or like, say, Family Guy. Like, we've talked about, like, casting somebody as Adam West or then himself and in James Family Woods. Guy. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, in Family Guy, this is like 93, so it's really ahead of the curve, I think.
Well, this, I found this episode in particular to have a few instances where I felt that's quite, you know, ahead, like, of its time.
Last week we talked about, like, it being meta with, like, the Conan O'Brien stuff, where, like, Bart is humming the tune and stuff like that, and it's like, my job to be repetitive. And it kind of, you're getting into it again this week with a lot of, like, metatextual stuff.
Yeah. Well, on that note, should we get into it?
Yeah. I kind of like how at the start they really, it's like, first of all, you open on Apu, and it's like him gouging the customers.
Yeah, straight off the bat.
Yeah, like, and, like, first of all, I wasn't a fan of his shirt that he's wearing.
I didn't pay attention. It's
a different shirt, man. It's a different shirt. It was like a light blue one there, that, like, compared to the one he normally wears.
I didn't actually notice that.
But, like, when, you know, people are asking, he wants $2 worth of gas.
I can't now look. Yeah. But I'll just say off the bat, the accent might slip out.
Okay.
I mean, that's the character.
Anyway. I did like, you know, everybody's complaining, saying what a ripoff, and then your man's like with the Twinkie. He's like, I think you're a star. And, like, throws it down.
I thought straight off the bat, actually, that actually, this is one thing I forgot to mention at the start, because I was like the graphics or the whatever, or the animation, should I say, looked very season 4-ish.
Yeah, it kind of seems to have gone.
Yeah, and then I thought it was interesting then, because when I read about it, it was when David Merkin took over the show. He wanted to bring it back to character and story, unlike the previous season, which got, so as they put it, fast moving and full of cutaway gags. So he wanted to explore the characters a little bit more. And take
season 4
time.
Was like that, yeah.
Well, that's what he said. I mean, maybe they mean the earlier part of the 5th season more than anything.
Because
it's only really the last couple of episodes that were like that.
This animation reminds me of, like, the Mr. Burns Casino episode.
Yeah,
that sort of same style of animation, like, you know.
So it just, I remember thinking right off the bat, I was like, oh, this is,
it's different to the week before. And then we've done this working in the shop, where Pooh sees some expired ham and he puts it in the,
sure have,
yeah, what do they used to call it, banded products in center, the
banded products,
it's gone off, you'd wrap them up and say two for one. Like,
you'd wrap two of them in sellotape and stick it in a basket with a sign that said 2 for 1. That I think we could have reprinted the sign, but that sign was battered. And, like, it was there for about 4 years. That sign, dirty as shit.
But like, you know, they're going off today. Like, milk cartons, like 2 liters of milk, like, wrapped them up together. Like, who's gonna drink 2 liters of milk in a day? Like,
any effort to save a little bit of money.
Yeah. I do. Losing business, Andrew.
I did think it was particularly gross the way Homer was eating the ham.
Yeah,
as
and
soon
like
as he opened the packet,
like, but like shoveling it in. You tell me you never had ham straight out of the packet.
Of course I have.
Yeah,
but I haven't hung it over my head like grapes.
Yeah,
like a sultan eating grapes.
I like that it was like 4 years out of date as well. Like 89. Like
Jesus.
And yeah, when he's like eating it at home, he's like stomach churning, bowels clenching.
Still
eat it, yeah. And great little gag where it's just the, you know, the ambulance.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
classic Simpsons because, you know, straight away they're going to call back to that in a little while where it's just like that cutaway of, oh, like the shrimp. When he gives him the, he's like, oh, sorry for making you sick. Here's 5 pounds of frozen shrimp. Like, this isn't frozen. It's like, 10 pounds. Like, woohoo! And then like,
it's really well done.
Yeah, I did like that as well, where it's like, it's either ingesting spoiled food or some sort of voodoo curse.
Now, I thought when this joke came by, I was like,
I like that. We've only been working the eyes.
I don't know what it seemed very, what's the word? Not sticky, but sticky?
Stick? That's what is that? What is that, some sort of shtick?
Yeah, but I remember when I was watching it in Starbucks this morning. That I was over a venti cappuccino, just kind of thinking like, it seemed like a season four gag. No disrespect.
Nothing wrong with a season four gag.
No disrespect to season four.
Plenty of disrespect. I also like when the image of Homer on the couch, like Lisa sitting there beside him. Like that's just a nice image. Like the sick
I thought
dad
that too. Yeah.
And like she's sitting there cross-legged,
yeah,
in front of the couch. And then like I always love that. Like
the dog.
It goes for ages. Like,
it's funny enough when you see the words coming, but then it's even funnier when you see the back of the TV and you just hear,
that dog can sell anything. I also like that Brockman's update on the nursing home, geezers and freezers. Apologize for the use.
Always.
I think Brockman is particularly good in this one because, like, when Homer rings up saying, or when he goes to work with them or whatever,
yeah,
it's like it's that, I don't know, he's got the loose tie and he's like the cigarette or whatever. It seems like a really like warm room.
Yeah.
He's like, we're gonna need you to go undercover. He's like, no way, man.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a freaking wire, man.
Now, is that from anything specific?
I don't think so. I think it's just a trope, like, you know, that sort of like I guess it's normally like it's somebody who's like a junkie or whatever like that, that's going to be going undercover to get from their supplier or whatever.
I wasn't
like
sure if it was like a reference to some hugely popular movie that I hadn't seen, where, you know.
No, and we were talking about this last week. Remember you were saying like, what was the reference of like
a box?
Looking it up, it was like Planet of the Apes.
Was I right?
No, because
I said Planet of the Apes. Didn't I?
Yeah, but I don't think it's right though, because it was like, it was just,
I'll put my hand down.
It was like somebody was like, it was in like references on IMDb. It was like Planet of the Apes, like Homer's like, damn you, a box. I'm like, no, I don't think that is, because it's damn you to hell.
Yeah.
You maniacs, you blew it up.
Yeah. Which he also did use.
He will use in when they're going to space.
Yes.
That's of course. But I like the fact that it's like a hidden camera and microphone. He's like, oh, okay, no problem.
Yeah, he's not.
And it's the hat so tiny, or the camera so tiny, it fits into the hat.
It's just that when he puts it on, the weight of it.
Like the noise when he puts it on.
And what was the line where it was like, you could
get in and out in 10 minutes, or you'll suffer permanent neck damage. And this is something we used to always do as kids. We'd be like, he's not kidding. And you see your man's neck twisted. Like,
Now, Terry, I'm going to stop you right here.
Ooh.
If I'm not mistaken, we have a clip. We'll play it and come back.
Don't be alarmed, Apu. Just go about your daily routine like I'm not wearing the hat.
Your headgear seems to be emitting a buzzing noise, sir. Perhaps you have a bee in your bonnet.
Bee! Ah!
Homer, that hat's been with the station for 20 years. He had one day left till retirement.
La, 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 la. Well, time to replenish the hot dog roller. La, la, la. Oh, no, it is encrusted with filth. Oh, well, let's sell it anyway. Now, this is just between me and you, smashed hat.
Hot diggity dog, we've got him, Mr. Simpson. Now let's... Mr. Simpson?
One hot dog, please. Oh, oh.
I don't know, like, if I just kind of like how trusting Apu is, that like, he doesn't mind that the hat is making a buzzing noise.
Well, first of all, he doesn't mind that Homer's like, don't be alarmed. Like, straight away I'm going to be alarmed. Like,
just go about your business like I'm not wearing the hat.
Yeah.
Bringing it to, couldn't bring more attention to it.
And then, like, the motion of, like, Homer, like, ah, like, stomping on the hat, like, crushing it. And the fact that he's like, has been with the station for 20 years. Like, one day left to retirement. Not a great trope that they use. Yeah.
Dang it, one day left to retirement.
I do like the fact that Apu is like, you know, I'm not going to do the accent. It's just between me and you, smashed hat.
Yeah. He's like, when he's like, just the animation. Yeah, the animation of the hot dogs. Like, doo doo doo.
Like hairs, flies, a plaster.
Yeah, like, and then he's like, we've got him, Mr. Simpson. He's like, one hot dog, please. And then kind of like the next part up, I think it is James Woods doing the voice of the Quickie Mart guy that's firing him.
Really?
I think so. I think because he does like a couple of different voices in the episode. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I think this is the first one. I could be wrong on that one, but I know it's definitely the guy that, with the gun later on.
Is James. Is it?
Yeah.
Jeez. Doesn't know any of this. That's brilliant.
Yeah. But the fact that he's like, will you ever stop selling spoiled meat? He's like, no. I mean, yes. I mean, and the gag. First of all, the fact that he's like, I follow its standard procedure, and he's like, yeah, but you're supposed to blame it on a scapegoat or sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
And he's like, and if I can obtain for you these animals?
I quite like the way he says as well at the start, a puna has to be in a pedal land.
Yeah.
It's very American, like. And you can no longer tell people about their fried pickles.
Like the rip off. And then, like, you know, your badge and gun. Give me your price and gun.
That was a good,
great
gag. Was a good
The holster and the. The ankle host, they're like,
even the fact that he takes like an extra moment with the second one, he sort of like embraces it for a second. Yeah.
And the fact that he's like, he's fired after all these years of service, like, I don't want to live anymore. Like, and he's like, no, like, the struggle over, like, is that worth it? Like,
no, I don't want to live, sir.
Yeah. The fact that, like, even, and this is what I kind of was thinking, like, okay, even if he wasn't an Indian guy, this sort of scene where he's like, at the bridge,
yeah,
and it was like, if it was just a white person or whatever, that's like, oh, this bridge sounds like it's mocking me, like, it would still be, the joke is,
oh yeah,
the fact that it's the two guys, who needs money when we got feathers.
Like, we quite like that
great animation of the two of them, like, the hair on the
one big guy, one skinny guy,
of course,
like, the same, classic comedy dynamic,
same as it ever was, like. And we kind of get like him walking in the rain, like,
Terry,
oh,
stop right where you stand. We'll play this clip and come back.
This is all because of Homer Simpson.
Oh, damn.
Yo, check this out. Black guys drive a car like this. Ding, ding. Yeah, but white guys, see, they drive a car like this.
It's true. We're so lame.
It is time to settle the score.
I didn't know they was filming that camera in that hat. I was unaware.
Mr. Simpson, you misunderstand me. In my village, this is the traditional pose of apology.
Oh.
You know, now that I think about it, it may be a little confusing. Many have died needlessly. I have come to make amends, sir. At first, I blamed you for squealing, but then I realized it was I who wronged you. So I have come to work off my debt. I am at your service.
You're selling what now?
I'm selling only the concept of karmic realignment.
You can't sell that. Karma can only be portioned out by the cosmos.
He's got me there.
If anything, Andy, I think this is the most bad taste.
Do you?
Part. Yeah. Please. I'm like, because it's a bunch of white guys writing an impression of a black guy doing impressions of white guys, like, you know.
I was actually particularly, I was particularly
tickled,
impressed almost with this scene, dare I say, because it was just a real, like, one, you'd never see it in like an animation of you know, Homer just sitting watching like
the late night
racial comedy, you know, and like that's actually, I mean, it's basically like, the way it was.
Like, Martin Lawrence would do a stand-up set like that, and like, you know, that white guy.
Yeah, like, or even, you
know. Sorry, I shouldn't have done the voice guy. I'm sorry.
Right, sorry. Even, you know, Richard Pryor would do it, or, you know, where he'd be like, you know, like, white guy's like, I hope there's no one sitting in my seat.
Yeah.
And Richard Pryor's like, I hope there's someone. I'm not going to do the deep voice.
Even, and I tell you what, like, a good flip around that was, because you hated the show for ages, and I was trying to sell you on this clip, was 30 Rock. Where it's Alec Baldwin doing like Tracy's.
Oh yeah. I've never had a show like 30 Rock where I've been absolutely hated.
You hate it from, you watched like the trailer on a DVD or something like that, like, and the bit you hated was like, whoa, let's not jump the racial stereotypes. And
the ad was terrible,
but like,
but then I seen a very similar NBC ad for The Office, the US Office, which I love
unconditionally.
Yeah, but then I seen the trailer. I was like, well, no wonder they just make these shows look very unfunny.
Yeah, but that for me is a high point of sort of what we're talking about here, of like a white person impersonating a black person or vice versa, and it's like him calling him out when he does an impression of when Alec Baldwin's like does the white person. He's like, Tracy, it is impolite to slurp one's soup. He's like, whoa.
But yeah, I thought in this case it was kind of like, I just thought it was quite good. Like, I don't think it's kind of like it,
but I don't think it ages very well. Or it's like, whack, because it's a white guy that's written it, and he's like, black guy, drive a car, like,
there's something I quite like as well about the fact that Homer's just sitting up on his own with a beer, just enjoying his night.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know why.
I've been there, my friend.
And like, and I really love the whole backdrop of like the rainy night, and like, you know, I was quite impressed in general with the sky, I guess, in this. There was like certain scenes where it's like orange, it's like dusk or whatever. Then there's this, there's the rain. Like, I quite liked the different sort of outdoor scenes.
And I like this as a child, when I remember seeing this the first time, I'd almost be scared of when Apu shows up. Like, coming towards it. But like, because it looked, first of all, his face, like, and the rain dripping down or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Quality clip.
And it was good that, like, you know, it's a nice little switcheroo.
And I did like the final line where he's like, karma can only be proportioned out by the cosmos.
Yeah. He's got me there.
Yeah.
Then he's kind of, Apu is like hanging around the house essentially.
I like his dedication to just help, like trying to pay off his debt, like very honourable.
So he's making them dinner, you know, spicy food though.
Lisa, I can see through time.
I like the Homer's like, oh, I'm trying out new things. What do you call this, Apu? It's like a napkin. He's like, outrageous.
And let me ask you, where do you stand on spicy food?
I like them. I like it a lot, but doesn't always agree with me these days.
You'd be paying for it afterwards.
Oh yes.
Oh, very much.
Yeah. But will I do it all again? we kind of get the Quickie Mart.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh.
Let me stop you right there. We got a clip.
Thick and fast.
Play it and come back.
All right, why do you want to become part of the Quickie Mart family?
because I like people. And I need a place where I'll be out of the sun.
Thank you.
He's head and shoulders above everyone else.
Wait, there's one more applicant.
Name?
James Woods.
Previous job experience?
True Believer, Salvador, Onion Field, The Hard Way.
Wait a minute. Those aren't convenience stores. That sounds like the resume of a Hollywood movie star.
Yeah, well.
James Woods! Why would you want to work at a Quickie Mart?
Well, to be honest, in my upcoming movie, I'm going to be playing this tightly wound convenience store clerk, and, you know, I kind of like to research my roles and really get into it. For instance, True Believer. I actually worked in a law firm for 2 months. And the film Chaplin, I had a little cameo on that. I actually traveled in time back to the 20s where, well, I've said too much.
Welcome aboard.
The only thing it's a great scene. I kind of wish that they'd gone through more of the cast in the interviewing process.
Yeah, there's only one.
Seems like it was
right.
A bit of a waste that they went straight. I mean, it was great, Barney, and then James Woods, like, is just great in this episode.
What an introduction.
I know.
But I get you. I actually felt that myself, that it's like, oh, it's just Barney.
They could have done, I mean, who else is out of a job who, you know, they could have had, Gil wasn't around back then.
No, but like... Otto sprang to mind, but like
Captain McAllister. Anybody
that was. It didn't even have to be an actual character. Like, it could just be like, Snake, even, you know, like,
exactly,
something like that. But James Woods, man,
so good.
Yeah,
this is like, I know James Woods best from this episode. Like, I don't know if I've seen a lot of, like, all the movies that he listed. I haven't seen any of them.
You ever seen, True Believer,
nope.
Salvador,
nope.
Onion Field,
nope.
The Hard Way?
Onion Field?
I don't know. Like, Any Given Sunday, he's in.
Haven't seen that.
Oh, that's a good one, man. It's American football.
I do like sports movies.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah, Coach
very
Carter.
Much. Oh, Coach Carter. I was thinking Coach Carter when I said I like sports
Delinda,
movies.
Delinda.
Fucking great movie.
Apparently he's a bit of a nut job on Twitter these days. James
really?
Woods. Yeah.
I'm on Twitter. I don't follow. I didn't.
King Troll has been the term.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Almost like an American Lemmy, you might say.
No, in a bad way. Like, Lemmy is funny. This guy is like offensive. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Just pisses people
off.
Yeah,
exactly. And just like real.
I don't have to follow.
Nasty. Yeah, okay.
Really? Nasty?
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I loved the bit at the end where it's like, you know, I actually worked in a law firm for 2 months.
Yeah.
And he's like, and in the film Chaplin, I had a little cameo. I actually traveled back in time to the 20s where I've said too much. I could see that being an improv, like,
definitely.
Yeah. We kind of got Homer again, Apu hanging around the house, Homer taking a shower.
Yeah,
it was great.
It doesn't really make sense. Like, why does he keep a lollipop there?
I think it's just it got stuck there, and that was my reading of it. Was that's his excuse that he's like, oh my god, and he's like, oh, I like to keep a lollipop there. Like, not it's not purposely. It's just like it got stuck there when he was like eating it or whatever.
Oh right, yeah. Just happy to leave it there.
Yeah, and that when he's stacking the cans next.
I like that touch.
He's like, they'll never move that way.
Do you find this? This got me thinking because like. Do you find that when you're in a shop that, like, if you see something that wouldn't have gone down well in the shop that we worked, like, that you think about it? Like, I always think, like...
Constantly.
No price, no sale. I think that all the time. If I can't see the price...
I don't buy it. Yeah,
100%. And, like, all it takes is just putting the price there and I'll consider it. If there's no price, well, I'm not going to bring it all the way up and ask how much is it. I'll just keep
walking. I'm not going to risk it as well. I'm not going to be like...
Oh, it's grand, actually. I don't have enough. that's what I'd be like.
Oh, God. Those poor sad sacks that we used to deal with as well. Like, you're like, so, do you want to leave it then? He's like,
yeah, I'll have to. I don't have enough.
You're like,
sorry.
You're like, oh. I almost felt like, oh, hey, take a fiver. Like,
how much leeway were you willing to give people if they didn't have enough change and they were an adult? Like,
20, 50 cents, whatever. You can drop
about 50 cents,
you know, around that. Like,
yeah, I'd be about the same, I think.
Yeah, like, if it was kids, I'd probably let them off. Like,
if it was a kid, as soon as I see a kid go to the pick and mix, I almost want to just go up to them and say, whatever you're going to get, take half of it out right now because you're not going to have even nearly enough.
No, but say it was a kid and they like put out their money and they thought they had €2,
yeah,
and they only had 2.50 to make up a euro or something like that.
Yeah.
And if they were a nice kid that, like, they sort of were well-mannered and I knew them, I would sort of let them slide and I'd say, you know.
I remember there was one time, there's only one time I felt bad nabbing someone who tried to steal from the pick of me. But it was just this girl. Like, she seemed like a nice, just sweet girl. It was about, like, maybe 12 or something like that. But, like, she grabbed a whole bunch of stuff from the pick and mix. I can't remember whether it was in her bag or in her pocket, or she put the bag in her pocket or something like that. But she just walked, like, I seen her taking them, put it in a pocket and walk out. And then, like, but she was around all her friends who paid for their stuff. And so when I went out, I was like, can you take them out of your pocket? And, like, she went so red and was so embarrassed. And I was like, oh, sorry. And all this sort of stuff. And I just sort of took them. I didn't say anything. I didn't say don't come back or anything like that.
And stay out.
But I felt so bad afterwards. Just been like, you know, it was probably like the one and only time that she's ever done something like that.
She dealt the play, I'm afraid.
So, but, you know, don't do the crime.
Yeah, my friend. I like how they sort of go, first of all, they can't go to Quickie Mart. And, like, that's what we're talking about, where it was like this sort of thing of, like, not that the job defined him, but it was like a sense of pride working there. Like, he really was, like, it was a part of him, I guess.
It was like his calling.
Yeah.
You know.
Even though, like, you know, years later they'll say that he has a master's in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But at the time, it was like he was proud to, like, run the shop or whatever like that.
And,
like,
see, that's what I like about Apu as well, or the Apu character, and why I don't really subscribe to the whole. You know, maybe in the later seasons they changed him for but the Apu I know, like, it wasn't like he had his own character
agenda,
traits that were nothing to do with race or where he was from or you know, anything like that. Like, he had his own uniqueness as a person.
Yes.
And so that's why I just felt, I mean, we've been through it, I know, but I mean, like, just even the fact that it was like 20 years later, it's an issue. Like,
you know, it's probably a valid issue for Indian people or whatever like that. Like, but, like,
I'd be interested to hear more.
If I knew some Indian people.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear their take on it. Like, you know, just like, yeah. Anyway,
we're getting into
murky waters. I'm just gonna turn up the sound here if you don't mind. Just keep going.
I'll just keep vamping. But, like, well, they get to the Monstro Mart.
Very impressed with the Monstro Mart. I love the Monstro
Mart. But it's like. It's, I don't know, I like how it was like where shopping is
a baffling ordeal.
Yeah. It's like something chore, but a baffling ordeal.
I love their taglines.
It's like a little on steroids, or, you know, like, you know, and where, like, Marge gets, like, the giant thing of economy size nutmeg, like.
Where is the love?
Yeah, I love that. Then he's like, we love each and every one of you.
And everyone's like, aww.
We get, like, Barney wandering around. He's like, where should we, ma'am? Where are the lampshades, ma'am? He's like, oh, I've killed her. It's happening again. I don't know what, like, I love the little clip, but it's like almost unnecessary. It's like, why? Who pitched this idea?
It's a completely standalone little bit. Like,
yeah, it's like, it's fantastic. And then it's like, you know, they're all, like, drowning in the sea of cranberry or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it's like, they're just at the.
Oh, yeah.
To the till, then the next time they're like.
So you meant the cranberry scene? Why was that?
No, it was like, well. First, the whole thing with Barney knocking over the women.
But then, the cranberry.
Yeah. Like, he causes. What is it? He
runs into
with the trolley or whatever, and it knocks over the cranberry display.
Now, interestingly, then again, when I found, like, first of all, they're swept up in the cranberry, whatever. Then they're at the tail, they're all dry.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just back to normal.
But I always think of this episode where, like, I'm looking to see if I'm in a shop and I'm like, right, which queue do I join? I'll look and see, right, there's more people there, but they've got baskets, or there's one person with a trolley, or there's some old woman there or something like that. I always try and decipher
And that, like, when he hit the nail on the head with the old person just wanting some company.
Oh yeah.
And remember, it used to be like, Jesus, be a big queue, and it's like some old person be like asking you questions. Nice thing. You're like,
I'll see you again.
Get out of here. I got a Q10 phone back.
And then you're like, and then you're just trying to be nice. You're like, oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, sorry. I'll just have you over here. Still not getting it. Anyway. And then they just end up standing there staring at you. I'll see you again.
Just get out.
Get out. God, can hurt. You bring some coal around later? Yeah. I will, yeah.
Good luck. that was sort of...
Now, as well, just to, again, sorry to go off on a tangent again, but do you also find that you are way quicker than everyone else in who was ahead of you in the line?
100%.
I find, like, what
I
is taking...
I don't want to be, like, holding people up.
There is no fuss when I'm at the top.
I literally... Say if I'm in Aldi or Lidl and it's like, I have my basket with me, emptied out onto the conveyor belt, but then I have my basket ready to go. So as soon as they scan it, it's back like, in, in, and then...
You take it over to the wall
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly, and you put it in your bag, and then you're away.
Yeah.
Whereas some people are just, like, standing there, they're looking at your man, ring it all up, and then they'll just have, like, a giant pile of groceries there. Because he's on the deal with the next person straight away. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh,
I feel like
come on.
So goddamn inconsiderate.
I like, and this there clip at the start, but James Wood is like, 75, 85, 90, and a dollar. thank you and come again.
And he's so aggressive. Hey, wait a minute. Hey.
But like, first of all, like, he's asking, like, you know, did it seem real? He's like, actually, it's kind of a little bit labored. Like, lose yourself in the moment, man. So losing himself in the moment is really like, hey, don't jerk me around.
I love that. He's
like, get over here, okay?
He's like, okay, you're you, I'm me. I'm me. And like, it's a little pause. You're like, hey, don't jerk me around. Brilliant.
I like how next scene where they're at the dinner table, Homer is talking how the cholesterol is being freed up from eating his veg and it goes straight to the brain. Like, Bart being a little shit.
Basically, And then we get the song. Now, I think... Should we wait and play the song
we'll
until the end?
Let them go out on it.
But if I may say, I mean, stick around for the song, people. But if I may say, it is a top-notch song. I mean, one of the best that they've ever done, I think. It's up there with the monorail, as far as I'm concerned.
And it's funny, I hated the episode when I was watching it the first time, but I'd be interested to see when we come around. You know the musical clip show episode?
Oh yeah,
where it's like it shows everybody else singing.
I think,
like,
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah,
now.
Me too. Yeah. Like, you know, gonna paint a wagon, gonna paint it good. But that, like, it for me, it is up there, and it's surprisingly short as well.
Yeah,
like, I thought it was longer. What I liked about it is Grandpa.
Every time, Grandpa.
Hello, like,
is that hello? Is that hello? And then he's getting up and he's trying to get on the chair that's pulled from him as well.
I like how afterwards it's just like he just gets up and leaves. He's like explicitly
poor
there.
Granddad.
He's there just to be like a punching bag, and then he's gone.
What I liked as well is that at the end of the song, like, Apu just like gets down off the chair and walks away, and the Simpsons are all standing up. They just sit back in the church, like, huh.
But that's what I'm talking about being meta. It's like, oh, you know, wrapped up much quicker than usual.
Yeah.
And then you get the Apu.
Who needs the quickie mart?
I do.
I like.
But when he's looking over at it as well, like, it's so good. Like,
it was well animated, and then, like, I love the way Homer, I don't know why it's funnier.
His hands.
But Homer turns around, he's like, he lied to us through song. I hate when people do that.
It reminds me of Mel Brooks. I hate Conor Ryder. And it's kind of like, they're going to get off, they're going to go to the head office now, like, and it's a thing that always stuck with me where it's like, it's the least I can do when Homer's saying, like, he's going to go with him. And he's like, well, he's like, the least I can do is absolutely nothing, but I'll go you one better and come along.
And that's why I like the fact he had no problem where Lisa's like, Dad, that's over 10,000 miles away. I'm aware of that. That's over 16,000 kilometers.
No.
That was actually my favorite gag.
Anytime I was watching it around people today, and it was like, when James Woods done, I was like, you're trying to hold it.
I know.
But when we get like the Lawrence of Arabia reference. Did you get that?
I haven't seen it.
When they're on the donkeys or whatever, like, oh, right. Like on the music, and it's like they're coming over the mountain.
Oh yeah,
and it's like Springfield Airport. Like,
I spent the last money on the plane tickets. Yeah, and I did like that. Are we in India yet? No.
Yeah.
No, we are. Terry, I'm going to stop you right here. It seems like we've got plenty of clips today.
Firing at us.
But I didn't come back.
Am I in the table with Jeff Goldblum here?
Oh, well, there it is.
Tony, you're my agent. You have to do something about this. How can it be the same movie if they've changed my character from a tightly wound convenience store clerk to a jittery Eskimo firefighter? Well, actually, that's a pretty good explanation. Now, this would be gross points, right, in this new... Okay. Yeah, because those monkey points... Yeah, okay, great. Okay, good. Book me a flight, rent me an igloo, and tell those dorks at the Quickie Mart that, boom, I am out of here. I'm a dot. I'm gone, okay? What do you mean I got to give 2 weeks' notice? What? Damn freaking no good mother... Jeez! No, not you. I'm just talking to my oven.
What to say about this? First of all, just the fact that he's on the phone and he's like, how could it be the same movie if they've changed my character from a tightly wound convenience store clerk to a jittery Eskimo firefighter? I'm just like, Well, that's actually a pretty good explanation.
Yeah. And like the way it really sounds like a real phone call. It's like, and that's Grom's points now. Okay, yeah.
Love that. Yeah. That's like the complete inside baseball. Yeah. It's like, and like, I guarantee you that's an improv.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Because those monkey. Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. Okay. Book me a flight, rent me an igloo, and tell those dorks the Quickie Mart that, boom, I am out of here. I'm a dot, okay? I'm gone.
And then the editor, he's like, you damn freaking no good mother. Jeez.
No, I'm just talking to my oven. Like, oh, it's so good.
So good.
That for me is one of the all time like classic. Because it's one of the ones where, as kids, we used to always be like, just like, motherfucker. Yeah. No. And the fact that he's using the scraper.
Yeah. It just seems very real. Yeah. Like, a real problem. Like,
you really believe like,
that James Woods
if you
is
put
doing
James
that.
Woods in a convenience store, this
that's
would be
how
coming.
He'd be, yeah.
I like that as well when Homer and Apu arrive.
Oh, at the world's first convenience store.
No, when they arrive in India, it's like, oh, great, Christians.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that. As opposed to Hare Krishnas, I guess. Mm. they get to the world's first convenience store. It's not very convenient, though.
Yeah, I like that joke. Couldn't be less convenient. And then, like, you just get the classic Homer, like, you may ask me 3 questions.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how often I actually think of this little scene.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You?
I hope this has been enlightening for you.
And just that whole, like, thank you, come again.
And then when they leave, so Homer's
frustrating.
Like, Homer's like, well, that was a big bust.
Is he really the head of the Quickie Mart? And I like how
you're still not satisfied.
But I like how you actually hear a poo, you're like, ah, like let out, like,
yeah, no need to apology.
I accept your apology.
I like the way his eyes sort of like squinting as he's getting.
So they just fall off the cliff and they're fine.
Yeah.
I like then when they get home, they're like, what you bring? What you bring? The kids, they're like,
so how'd it go? Fine. Oh, I mean, not good.
Yeah, and like Lisa, like, who needs the Quickie Mart? He's like, do you mind? I'm not in the mood. it's one crushing defeat after another until you just wish Flanders was dead. Yeah. Little Flanders dig there.
Yeah, until you wish Flanders was dead. I remember thinking, like, jeez.
Yeah. And I remember, just because you mentioned earlier on, but like I was looking at earlier on, when he shows up to the Quickie Mart, whatever, they said it really well because the music is like almost confrontational when a poo shows up.
Yeah.
And it's like the dusk. It's almost like like a Western for like, you know, like
redemption.
Yeah. It's like a picture. I'm picture him like being the gunslinger coming back into town.
You just see
like,
the feet.
Yeah. And I like how, first of all, like he sees the squishy machine like in bits.
Yeah.
His old scum bucket with flies and the hot checklist. Did you notice who was on it?
Bunch of different Homer names.
Two other people, though.
No.
Chief Wiggum and Reverend Lovejoy.
Oh.
The two, and then it was like Homer J. Fawn or whatever. Like, you know.
It's like four different Homers.
Yeah, which is great. Like, but I love how, like, James Woods is so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing his research, like, you're the guy. Like,
hey, you do.
Yeah.
Is it true you worked 96 hours straight?
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I studied your old tapes. Like, me.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of any sort of joke where it kind of goes like,
March.
Yeah.
And then, don't try any funny stuff. Like, the guy comes in with, like, he's like, if I tried any funny stuff, you, sir, would be in hysterics.
I was like, hey, you're James Woods.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Woods, your new song is going to be number 3 with a bullet. I'm not a singer.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And he shoots him and then runs off. Like, doesn't even try and like take the money.
A and poo, it, yeah.
But
the
I like,
serious kiss of Holland.
How I missed you. I mean, I think I'm done. Yeah. But I like James Woods, like, oi. Like,
yeah.
Falls to the top. And then we're getting right to the end here with Hibbert basically saying the bullet ricocheted off another bullet that was lodged in your chest from a previous robbery.
That's his medical, yeah. Like, he just walks off, yeah. Then. Like, that's it, like, that's all he does.
James Woods gets Apu his job back. But as for him, well, he's off to battle aliens on a faraway planet.
That sounds like a good movie.
Yes, a movie. And then he's gone. Like,
I did like the, you know, just the easy wrap up. Like, let's all hug a poo.
Yeah.
Oh. And then again, like the we, meta. And there's still time.
Yeah. Let's hug him again.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well, that's the episode.
That is the episode. We breezed through it there.
Yeah. That felt. Yeah. Shall we get into ratings?
Please.
Sorry, Marge. I'm afraid this gets my lowest rating ever. 7 thumbs up.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Sucker. What did you think of this episode?
I really enjoyed it, I have to say.
No, I don't like where this is going at all.
No, no, I really enjoy it.
He hated it.
That's a gun to my head.
I'm going to
break my thumb. Really enjoyed it. I don't know if I was expecting not to enjoy it, but like, I enjoyed sort of, or maybe I'd forgotten how well they had rounded out Apu as a character.
Yeah.
And sort of, like I was saying, like, trying to approach it without that bias of, like, the controversy that's been around him lately. Or, like, and it's a really well-written episode. There's one main story.
Yeah.
The other tangent to the story is James Woods, which is delightful. Brilliant. Add-on. Yeah. Like, the only time they cut away is to him, really. Like,
It
starts off with Homer and Apu. Like, sort of getting food poisoning, and then Apu moving in with the Simpsons, and the only other like side story is James Woods
or Bart or Marge or anything like that.
They just like supplement. Marge has her a little bit with
it's a very different kind of episode in that sense.
I really liked it. Like, I have to say, like, it was like lean and kind of, because we've sped through it almost this week, it's like it shows from the episode. It's like all killer, no filler. Like, James Woods, my MVP. Like, it has to be. Very hard not to.
Can I ask what your rating would be?
I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Not top tier, but
I'm looking back through at our ratings here. What did we give? What did I give a 7 and you gave a 7.3 to?
Probably the Treehouse of Horror, I'd
say. Yeah, there was the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the rest, I'm trying to think where this ranked with your other one. But it's right in the meaty part of the curve, I'm not going to lie.
Going off, not falling behind. What about you, Andy?
I was expecting to not like this episode. Yeah. And I did like it. And that concludes the podcast.
5 stars.
I would also give James Woods my MVP, of course. I know we'd like to normally have a different one, but
it's hard.
I liked the fact that, I think this is probably the first time the Apu character, or possibly even one of the first times that the side characters have had a bit of flesh out to, you know what I mean, like to their character, or a bit more depth.
He really is the main character in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like probably the first time that they've done that, and that sort of opens up the whole, I think the fact that that was done well opens up
for better or for worse. maybe they did it with Krusty a couple of times.
Oh yeah,
before,
they had the Krusty comeback and all that.
Yeah, but like this kind of seems like
they're really using their roster.
They used Krusty in the very early episodes because he was such an important figure to Bart. Yeah. Like, whereas now Apu was just the shopkeeper normally, and it's kind of he's getting his own episode. For better or for worse, it sort of opens
and
the
floodgates. I did like the fact that like he's honourable. They make like Apu like honourable in one sense, like, and then
Scuzzy in the other.
He's happy to rip off people, but he's indebted to Homer and wants to pay him back. Yeah. You know, and all this sort of stuff.
It's a good yin and yang.
Yeah. So he had a bit of depth to him. I would give it a
speak from your heart.
I'd give it a 7.9.
Ooh. One of the bits of feedback I've got, and I've got some good feedback from people.
Oh, brilliant. Hit me with it. I got nothing.
Feedback was, your rating system stinks.
It is. Yeah, I know. It depends on how I'm feeling that day. Because, I mean, like...
That's from Pilo. Shout out to a friend of the podcast, Colin Pilo.
Sup, Pilo?
Yeah, and shout out to Kieran Callahan, who's been binging them.
Oh.
Talking to him about the...
Brilliant.
Wedding there recently, and he
brilliant.
Was, he said he feels like we're in the room with him when he's listening to
that's
him.
That's the highest praise.
Absolutely,
indeed. Like, that's what we go for.
So end of a good podcast.
I'm glad to hear that, because I mean, like, while I would put it out on Twitter and we get a good interaction from Twitter, shout out to Timothy Burleson, number one fan.
Yeah.
But you know, like, as far as like actual like people listening saying I like this bit, I like that bit. Yeah. So I tend to come to you for that because it's tend to be on that side.
So you're in the sticks
I'm in the middle of nowhere. I got nothing going on.
I guess with that we can sort of get into our plugs.
Plugs. Terry, where can they find us?
Well, you can find us on Facebook at Put an H, Die Hard Simpsons podcast, clips, some pics and some late night streaking. Where else can they find us online?
Twitter. They can find us at Put It in H Podcast. We have all sorts of hilarious GIFs, memes.
Ooh.
I don't know if you noticed my reply to Donald Trump yesterday, Terry. Did gangbusters, over 1,000 impressions.
What's an impression?
It's when someone sees it on their timeline.
Oh, okay.
So anyway.
Was that you or was that the podcast?
The podcast, sure.
Oh, all right. Hey. Very good, yeah.
I mean, the podcast, sure. Yeah.
I got my finger on the pulse here of the social.
But yeah, you can find us there.
You can email us.
Please.
putitinhpod@gmail.com.
Terry, if they say, okay, I'm supporting you with, you know, listens, with feedback, with everything like that, is there any other way they can support us, Terry?
Well, you can support us financially.
Now we're getting to it. Now please pay attention.
You can fly on over to paypal.me/putitinhpod. And you can donate as much or as little as you want.
What's in the kitty now, Terry?
Still a big fat zero.
You motherfucker.
Andy, please, no.
You know, my kid's got to eat. That's all I'll say. My kid's got to eat something.
Well, we got our sponsors. Screw the lawyers.
Can I say as well that we are on course for our highest ever month of listens or downloads. As you can see here, this is the last 12 months. Now, we're only halfway through April, and we're doing two a week instead of one a week. But as you can see, we're about like literally
two
like
a month.
Four or two a month.
Yeah.
Two a week, we wish.
Yeah.
But we're literally three listens away from our highest ever month. So we're basically there. So I feel like after this podcast airs, we will have topped our most listens or downloads in a month. So thank you, everyone.
Possibly have a few pennies in the bank.
Oh yes, sir. And what's the address again if they want to?
It's paypal.me/putitinhpod.
Brilliant.
Well, what do we got for us next time, Andy?
Season 5, My Phone's Dead, episode 14. Lisa versus Mallory Steady.
It's a swing and a hit. Right. Out of here. Kudos to you, Andy.
Kudos. Join us for that, and thanks for listening.
You see, whether igloo, hut, or lean-to, or a geodesic dome, there's no structure I have been to which I'd rather call my home.
Hello! Ha!
When I first arrived, you were all such jerks, but now I've come to love your quirks. Maggie with her eyes so bright,
Marge with hair by Frank Lloyd Wright. Lisa can philosophize. Bart's adept at spinning lies. Homer's a delightful fella. Sorry about the salmonella.
That's okay.
Ah! Who needs the quickie mart? Now here's the tricky part. Oh, won't you rhyme with me? Who needs the quickie mart?
Their floors are sticky mart.
They made that sticky mart. Let's hurl a bricky mart.
The quickie mart is real dope.
Not me.